trust that you are being warmly received and are experiencing the presence of God very, very personally. This day marks the beginning of the Easter week, and it's known as the Holy Week, I guess, in some circles, and we kind of identify it as the Easter week, the beginning of Easter, where we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us so that we could become children of God. And so you heard already in the video announcements that tomorrow there's an opportunity in the Learning Center to learn a little bit about the Passover feasts. Jesus with his disciples had this Last Supper, and it was part of the Passover meal. Perhaps you want to grow in a little bit of your understanding of that tomorrow, 7 o'clock till 9. That might be one opportunity. Later on in the week, on Good Friday at 10 a.m. right here, we're having one worship service where we're going to remember the cost of Jesus going to the cross, so that we could have this relationship with Jesus Christ. It'll be a fairly simple service, but it'll be a reminder once again as to what it is that we believe about Jesus' death. There's a children's ministry for that. They're going to be also teaching our kids about the same thing, that Jesus is our ransom. And so I would invite us to consider that. And then, of course, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. He no longer is dead. He stayed dead for 3 days, then he rose again. And because of his life, we too can have life. So as we go throughout this Easter week, let's be thinking about these things, and let's be bringing them into our own lives, because we believe in this living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to address this question that was posed in the video announcements about the voices that find ourselves in our lives, and they find themselves all around us in culture, in the world in which we live. And the question really is, you know, to whose voice are you listening? Think for a moment about the many voices and messages that find their way into your world seeking to capture your attention. They're vying for your thoughts, your mind, your practices. It can be really overwhelming. How many of you have that thin, shiny little device that you carry in your pocket that has constant flow of information, texts, emails, phone calls, news feeds, constant info flow that is a voice in your life? This last week, I forgot my iPhone at home. It was really kind of odd, and I kid you not, and I'm ashamed to admit this, I felt half naked when I showed up to church that day. Like, I was like, where is that thing? Like, I need that info. I need those voices, right? It's actually quite confusing to stay focused on the right voices in a world of digital communication. Super, super challenging. Think about marketing and the consumer goods and advertising that we're faced with. Everyone that has a product believes that their product is just right for you, right? And you're the willing customer. I love the decades-long battle between Coke and Pepsi. For many years, Coke has said that they are the real thing. They've said Coke is it. And they just, like, they put the dollars behind it, and they trumpet it, and it's global. It's just, it's a voice that is out there, right? Pepsi, I think, has kind of just tried to hang on for dear life most of the time, and trying to kind of figure out their kind of market share. But they're getting creative. And so I was in a restaurant last week, Boston Pizza, one of my favorite restaurants, and I'm sitting there with my daughter Malia and her friend, and the waitress comes by and she says, "Can I get you something to drink?" And I said, "Oh, I'd like a Coke." And she said, "Is Pepsi okay?" And in a loud, dramatic voice, I said, "Is Pepsi okay?" And my daughter completely buries her head in her arms and goes, "I can't believe you just did that, Dad." And the waitress literally thought I was from another planet. Like, she didn't know what to make of it. The world of advertising, the products, I mean, they have a voice in our lives. How about the voice of social media? That platform that we're all faced with that invites anyone to have a voice about anything, regardless of whether their voice is credible or not. And the more likes that you get boosts your credibility, regardless of whether the voice is valid or not, because that's kind of how we make a voice something. Pluralism, tolerance, acceptance, central voices of current culture. So if you find yourself frustrated, confused, overwhelmed, wondering how in the world do you listen to the right voice, or which voice are you supposed to listen to, and how do you know when you're supposed to turn this way or that way? How do you know when to find answers to the different life questions you have? I can appreciate that it's a challenging task. It's daunting. It's overwhelming. Many voices. But is every voice valid? Is every voice credible? I stand before you this morning, and I'm standing before you as one who proclaims there is a voice to listen to and to follow above all others. I further stand before you as one who is convinced that absolute truth does in fact exist, and because of that conviction, I also then must state that I believe that some voices and some messages that confront and seek our attention must also therefore be false. But how does one know? How do you know which voice to turn to? So we've been looking at this little letter in the New Testament, this letter called 1 John, and this is one of the challenges that faces John, the disciple of Jesus, pastoring this small little church that's being rocked internally. Some within that congregation have chosen to believe voices that taught very different things than what they had been taught from the very beginning, largely centered on Jesus. They were saying that Jesus was just a man who had God-like qualities, but in fact, Jesus wasn't God. And so some of those people left. Some other people also questioned whether Jesus was God, and they stayed. But they became voices within the congregation who actually influenced and shaped the body of Christ in very unorthodox and unhealthy ways. They said, for instance, that one's body is physical and that the physical is unimportant. It's separated from everything else, the spiritual, the emotional parts of life. Therefore, they said, if your physical body is unimportant, you can do whatever you want with your body. It doesn't matter. So, if the physical body is in fact of no value, then the cultural and societal voices that surround us even today that champion sexual freedom, medical assistance in dying, abortion, legalized recreational drug use, those voices are completely legitimate and they are moving in the right direction. But what about the voice that says every person is wonderfully, uniquely, beautifully made, put together in the image of God, given great and immense value and worth, created, in fact, to represent the one who created them? Then, one's physical body actually matters. Big time. This congregation that John pastored was also very interested in being a spirit-led church, and that is a term that we use around Westwood. We desire to be spirit-led. They believed that the Spirit speaks and guides accordingly. Yet in doing so, some within John's church were saying that they were more superior than others, that they were truly the inspired ones. So it's one thing to be confused about all the voices that kind of clamor for our attention within culture and around us, but what in the world do you do when voices within the body of Christ are saying things like, I can hear from God better than you do, I hear from the Spirit of God better than you do. His Spirit is alive in me more than he is in you. What do you do with that? See, John was very, very concerned about whose voice his congregation was listening to and how they were being influenced and shaped both in their faith but also in their life. And the two are one, but life beyond. So as their pastor, John wanted his congregation to listen to one voice amidst the many that were out there vying for their attention and to remain faithful. Faithful to one voice, the voice of Jesus. And in a post-Christian world where pluralism, where materialism, where individualism, and countless other isms abound, we need, church, to hear this message. In a world of comparison, in a world where feeling like we never measure up, in a world where fear can completely trap us, where emotions can get the best of us, where others speak lies into our life, we need to hear this. In a world where many voices say that all pathways are valid and lead to the same place, yet logically, when you kind of map it out, it doesn't add up. We need to hear this. How, Westwood Church, can we be certain that we are following the right voice, the voice of Jesus? And that's the question that's before us and that I want to address in our text in 1 John chapter 4. It's a very short text, 6 verses, super powerful, lots of stuff in it. And I want to touch down on some practical points of application so that if we're desiring to follow Jesus in his voice, this is going to help you stay on track in a world and in a culture where many voices want your attention. The first is this. We need to discern the message behind the messenger. When you and I are confronted by a voice, by a message, a spirit, your first tendency, I suspect, is probably to look at the one who proclaims the message and then base your thinking on what you see with your physical eyes before you. It could be as simple and as mundane as your favorite clothing store. Maybe it's a little more complicated than that. Maybe it's a person who is highly educated and can influence greatly. They have good thought patterns. They are articulate. And what you see is what you take in, and so it grabs you. Maybe it's a well-known church where the pastor publishes books and speaks at large conferences. And what you see is actually quite compelling. And it draws us in. But John challenges followers of Jesus to look behind the messenger and the voices in our lives to discern the message that is behind the messenger. Verse 1, 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, some translations say dearly beloved. So right there is a strong message. Dearly beloved, to those who are loved dearly by Jesus, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Part of understanding which voice to listen to means that followers of Jesus must learn to believe and follow some voices while choosing at the same time to not believe some other voices. And this is a process. It is a process of growth and maturity and discernment. Up until this point, I've been using the term voices. John uses the term spirits. What does he mean? What does he mean? Through the scriptures, there's probably three primary categories that this word kind of falls in. There's the first area is related to an antichrist figure that is speaking about one who will at some point in the future rise up and become this global antichrist figure. We don't know who it is. We don't know when they will emerge, but the scriptures speak to this category. There's another category in the scriptures which speak about just the demonic realm, that spirits are a part of a demonic realm. And a third category speaks to this idea of a worldly spirit of the age. I believe that John is referring to both the second and the third categories, to this demonic realm and a worldly spirit of the age, and I believe those two overlap. So if Christians have a worldview of that includes God and it includes an angelic realm, Christians must also include in that worldview an opposing realm, or what we would call a demonic realm. It's made clear in the scriptures from Genesis 3 forward. It's not an all-powerful realm. It does not have victory over Jesus Christ, but it is nonetheless a realm. Paul speaks to this, Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Systems, authorities, they operate. And in our world, these systems can actually appear quite inviting. But what is the message behind the messenger? John said, don't believe everything that you hear, however nicely it's packaged. That's my paraphrase. His church family needed to hear that desperately because some people in their midst were coming across as spiritually superior. They actually looked pretty good on the outside. They were compelling. They were attractive. But they had this faulty message that was leading some people in their midst astray. They appeared to have the Spirit of God living within them. They even claimed to have the Spirit of God leading them, except for one small issue. They said, yeah, about Jesus, you know, he actually isn't God. Oops. That's a fairly big theological gap. It's pretty obvious to people who know the Word, who know the Scriptures, who are tracking with Jesus, it's pretty easy for them to kind of spot that kind of thing. But what about the person who actually doesn't know the Scriptures, who's never even heard the truth about Jesus? All of a sudden, it's a really, really big deal. Will they be led astray to listen to a false voice? Sometimes the issues are much more subtle, but they still kind of sidetrack and derail well-meaning people. And in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is writing to these leaders of the Ephesian church. And it's interesting that Ephesus is the same city that John's church is in. It's just a few years later than Paul's. And they're kind of dealing with some similar things. And the Apostle Paul challenges the leaders of the church in Ephesus to be on the lookout for those who come into their midst and they look good. They're quite compelling. They seem like they have it all together. They use the right language. They know kind of what they're talking about, but they're actually masquerading as an opposing voice. And Paul says, beware. Be on the lookout. That message holds true for us right now. To all of our Westwood leaders, to our pastoral staff, to our board of elders, to those who work with children and youth and young adults and adults and elderly alike, what a call, what an invitation to know the Scriptures well, to cultivate a personal relationship with Jesus well, to be walking closely in step with the Spirit of God who lives within you. Jesus said that He only says what His Father said. And the Spirit only says what He has been told by Jesus. That's the words of Jesus. So there's never any contradiction between what you think you're hearing from the Holy Spirit and what Jesus has already said in His Word, because He's received it from His Father. There's no contradiction. When there's contradiction, you need to take note. You need to beware that something's amiss. You will know a counterfeit voice and message if you are rooted deeply in the Scriptures and you walk closely with Jesus. A couple of years ago, I had a very, very challenging experience with an individual who wanted to meet with me. She had been attending our church for some time. She was a very attractive young woman who appeared on the outside to be very spiritual. She actually was quite attuned to the Scriptures. She knew the talk. She understood the words. And I agreed to meet with her. But when she arrived, the atmosphere in my office turned disturbingly cold almost immediately. Among other things, she declared in a voice that elevated her spiritual superiority. And she said very candidly and strongly, nothing good was happening in the ministry of which I was a part of, and that I personally, as a pastor, offered nothing through the Word of God. Bag of milk, I believe, was the term used. Now, I've heard many different voices over the years. That was a new one. I hadn't heard that one. The Spirit from which this message was coming was cold, it was dark, and I knew that it involved some aspect of spiritual powers at work that were not of God. And it took every ounce within me to just sit there until she was done. And then I said, I will share this with my elders and see if they concur with you. And with that, the woman was gone. She never came back. I have never talked with her since. I shared it with my elders and said, what do you make of this message, this voice? They looked at it, they considered it, and they said, the message doesn't align with what is true. Therefore, we dismiss it. We turn away from it. We walk towards Jesus. John says, don't believe every message, every voice, every spirit that finds its way into your life. For his church, it meant turning away from those who said that Jesus was not God. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This, friends, is an invitation to get to know Jesus and to get to know His Word so well that when other voices come into your life and they want to vie for your attention, your values, your priorities, You will hear and you will follow one voice and one voice alone, and it'll be the voice of Jesus. So we discern the message behind the messenger. Second, discern what the world thinks of the message. Look at verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you, Jesus, in his spirit, is greater than the one who is in the world, the one who is operating over the systems of the world. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. So to John, the world is describing the values and the priorities of people and of systems and of institutions who are not centered on Jesus, but who are nonetheless influential. And they shape and influence the masses, and they shape culture. In John's congregation, some were speaking from the viewpoint of the world. And that viewpoint was very, very attractive. It always is. We need to know that. But the viewpoint wasn't centered on Jesus, and it wasn't centered on Jesus' kingdom values. Think about the many voices. Think about the messages that emerge from our culture right now. I'll identify one, but we could talk about many. Within the past year, our federal government did what they said they would do. They legalized the recreational use of marijuana. Legalizing it, they said, will reduce crime, provide small business operators to now run their business legally. They will acknowledge that many are already smoking pot recreationally. And really, what's the big deal? It's not like we're legalizing cocaine or crystal meth or fentanyl. What a compelling voice. What a compelling voice. And the masses, speaking from the viewpoint of the world, said, yes, yes, this is good. Everyone else agrees. The likes are adding up. Therefore, it must be good. And because the voice is so strong and so compelling, the temptation for many, even those who desire to follow Jesus, is to say, maybe it is okay. Maybe it's not all that big of a deal. And right here is where followers of Jesus need to apply John's words of 2,000 years ago to the systems of our world in which we find ourselves wrestling. When the message with which we are confronted is tightly linked with the values and the priorities of the world, John says to followers of Jesus, be vigilant. Beware. Take stock. Don't just rise up with the masses. Women, when the voice of culture says that you need to look or dress a certain way so that your externals are acceptable in a highly sexualized environment, and the masses rise up in agreement and they buy the product and they live the life and they walk what they're seeing all around them. But you know in your heart that Jesus prizes the depth and the purity of your heart. Which voice will you embrace? Men, when the voice of culture invites you to work as hard as possible so that you can provide that best house that you and your spouse and your family want, and the clothes and the activities and the toys and the holidays for your family, and your peers with whom you work, who don't build their lives on kingdom values, are living examples of this, but the pressure is on. But you know deep down inside that a healthy marriage with your spouse and contentment with what God has entrusted you is far more precious in Jesus' eyes. Whose voice will you listen to? when the world values something greatly. John is saying that followers of Jesus must be far more diligent to sit up and to take note and then choose the Jesus way. And it's not comfortable, it's not popular. Jesus himself said, if the world hates you, if the world disagrees with the way you're living because you're following me, keep in mind, Jesus says, that it hated me first. So don't be discouraged. I'm before you. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Discern what the world thinks of the message, and then you got to make a choice. Do I want to follow the Jesus way or some other? And then verse 6. Discern what other believers say and do. So the local church of which you are a part, or that cluster of spiritual friends, discern what other believers say and do, and think very deeply. See, we grow best in community, where we're walking alongside other people, and we're helping one another, and we're asking questions of others, and we're inviting the same in our own lives as we give guidance to one another along the way. If you seek the voice of Jesus in your life, if you're wondering kind of where to turn and where to go for direction, obviously there is the Word of God, which I think it begins. You have the Spirit of God that lives within you. But then there's the community of faith who actually can help you. Look to the person who has walked farther down the spiritual track than you have. Look to the person who has maybe gone through a lot of hard stuff, difficult things, and might be battered. Not beat down, but battered because of what life has brought them. But they've depended on Jesus. They've stuck close to Jesus. Look to that person and see if you can maybe learn some things. Be prepared to follow the one who's consistently and humbly walked with Jesus. See, John said, beware when the world likes the message. Don't follow something just because the world says it's right. But then he goes on, he says, look to those who are walking with Jesus. Verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. I read that and I go, wow, that sounds so exclusive, Rob. It sounds so arrogant. How can you say that you've got the corner on truth and that your voice should be the one to follow? John says, look to us. Who's he talking? Who's us? The people of God, those who are staying committed, faithful, humble, persevering. Remember, Jesus isn't the popular or comfortable way. And I don't think John was being arrogant or proud. I think he was pleading with those entrusted to his care to continue walking in the way that they had been taught from the beginning, from those who had walked personally with Jesus and who knew the living God very, very closely. And so I believe the call for each one who proclaims to follow Jesus is to do this with humility and with consistency, faithfully living out the gospel, this good news of Jesus, being an example for others to follow, so that when you wonder, what should I do? What direction should I take? Whose voice should I listen to? You could actually go to the Word, listen to the Spirit of God living within you, and go to others, fellow disciples of Jesus, who are living examples of integrity, of consistency, of humility, knowing that as they follow Jesus' example, you can follow theirs. And what a daunting yet awesome invitation for each one to walk with Jesus so closely that the pathway is clearly marked for another who is trying to navigate their way through the many voices that are vying for their attention, their life, their values, and their priorities. In just a moment, we're going to close the service, and a men's group is going to sing a song that I think speaks to some of this. And I would invite that group to kind of make their way up here now. But I'd like to ask several questions of you as we think about what God is saying to us. Are there some voices, some messages that I'm currently following which are not coming from the right origin? Jesus. What are they? I'd like you to reflect on that and ask God that. Second question, why is this? And what must I do to shift my attention onto the voice of Jesus so that I can actually listen to his voice and discern it clearly? And then the third question I'd like you to think about, in what areas of my life do I need to mature so that I become more confident in listening for and then being obedient to the voice of Jesus Christ? Is it knowledge of Scripture? Is it more focused prayer? Is it the friendships and associations with which I find myself that I need to pay attention to? Is it greater engagement in a local church family where other people can help me to grow and become more and more like Jesus? What is it? And would you take even these moments together to ask God to reveal these things to you? Listen closely to the words of this song and allow God to speak to each heart that's here.